Hello, and welcome to Pinecone Podcast, where we have conversations about issues that are important to you, like faith and family, religion and relationships, Christianity and the church, and a whole lot more. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy Art, Wes, and Lacey as they have a conversation on Evergreen's Pinecone Podcast. Okay, here we are, podcast time. Here in the Evergreen, we call it the Evergreen Podcast Studio. Mm-hmm. It gives it again. There are lots of wires going everywhere. It sort of looks like a studio. But I'm here with Lacey. Lacey, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Art?
I'm good. We're without Wes once again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent. One of our listeners probably wishes Wes, our most loyal listener.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Muriel.
It's probably missing Wes. And you know, I based that loyal listener thing on some really, really significant and valid scientific research.
Facebook?
No, it's just my opinion.
Oh, okay. So,
But we have a special guest today.
We do.
Why don't you introduce our guest?
I always do that. That's fine. I'll introduce her.
Maria Daly is with us today. We are going to be discussing homeschooling, and so she has been doing that for a while, and I also homeschool, so we're gonna have a conversation and try to inform Art.
Yes, because I'm the one that knows very little about. But you know, my son-in-law was homeschooled, and his sister.
Okay.
And just recently, my son-in-law and daughter had a little baby. She's mm-hmm. 7-8 months old. And they're going to homeschool her, or their plan is. Now, that is not, I do want to qualify this, that is not why we're having this discussion today. And of course, we ask, you know, Lacey, you said you homeschool your kids. Mm-hmm. And naturally, we ask another homeschool mom to be on here. But just to qualify this, this actually was my idea.
It was.
To talk about homeschooling today. And again, not because Leia is my granddaughter's name. Is going to be homeschooled. That was not my thinking at all. Really, the reason is I was thinking about, when we were thinking about what can we talk about today, I was thinking about our little blurb at the, or whatever it is, a little blip at the beginning that talks about what the Pinecone Podcast is. And it says something to the effect of talking about subjects that are would be of interest to our audience,
mm-hmm.
which it's a church, it's kind of a church-sponsored podcast, so it's maybe a church audience, but I thought about, there are a lot of people in our church mm-hmm. who do homeschool their kids, but there's an even probably bigger number of people in our church that know nothing really about homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows about public schools. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what happens in public schools, what you do, how you get in public schools, how you graduate from public schools, whatever. But very few people, me included, know that much about homeschools.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to talk about that, and we might talk about some of the requirements for homeschools. I know Maria has some information on that. But what I really want to try to get into is just the people, homeschooling people, the parents
mm-hmm.
and the kids, because I know both of y'all have great stories about your kids. So let's start off. Is there something, we won't put Maria on the spot right away. what would you want people to know about homeschooling? Lacey, what's something?
That's a great question. I think one of the things that is important to me about homeschooling is that it is a lifelong endeavor. So you're talking about your granddaughter, Leia,
right.
and how she's going to be homeschooled. But really, your daughter has already started doing that. And most people mm-hmm.
do
naturally.
Before,
yeah, you're teaching them how to talk. You're teaching them how to walk. You're teaching them how to drink or eat. Use utensils, have manners, all of those things are more of a life schooling opportunity. And so we have, at our home, have kind of taken that and just kind of naturally moved on into teaching them things like reading, writing, math, geography, history, just through the things that they naturally are interested in. And so homeschooling for us is much more of a life schooling thing. And so that's probably something, you know, I think a lot of times parents, when they hear homeschooling, they picture doing school at home, replicating what people do at public school at home. And I tried to do that initially in the homeschooling process. But then I realized, hey, you know what? I've been doing this since they were born, but it wasn't this structured, structured entity, structured schedule. And so in our homeschool, it's much more of a rhythm of how we do our day.
Well, and other things you do with your kids when they're little, teaching them colors and teaching them counting and, and things like that. So it's like, I see what you're saying. It's kind of like a natural progression almost.
Yes.
And Maria, would you say, like, unfortunately, I think a lot of people probably think you, and I'm being personal here, that you, but a homeschool person, you homeschool because you don't want to send your kids to public school. Mm-hmm. That's probably not a fair. Is that really a fair thing? Is it more than that?
It's a lot more than that.
Yeah, it's for not sure. Just. It's not just I want to protect them from something. It's more what you want to give them.
It is about what you want to give them. And I think when you say, I don't want to send my kids to public school, but I don't mean that in a negative way that public school is bad. I'm a product of public school and know a lot of beautiful, successful, intelligent, godly people who are products of public school. So it's not really a protection thing because we want them to be strong and experience the world and those kind of things. But I don't want them to be in the public school because I so am loving what we're doing at home and that I get to share in that and be a part of every bit of it. And it's just the most beautiful thing to watch your child and read their first word, add their first math problem, and then as they get older, to watch them see truth. All of the subjects God has created them, he's in all of it, they all point to him. And as they are getting older and spiritually as they're developing and as they are seeing God in what they're learning, it's a beautiful thing to get to see. So I don't want them to go to public school because I don't want to miss out on that. I want to be the one to see them do that. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have two girls.
Two
right?
girls.
And you have
three boys.
Three boys.
We are experiencing
the we're
the extremes of homeschooling for
girls,
sure.
Yeah.
And I also think one of the things about homeschooling, one of the reasons that we chose to homeschool as opposed to sending them to public school is I feel like homeschooling gives them a lot more opportunity to experience things that they wouldn't get to experience if they were in a classroom all day. I also am a product of the public school, and I don't think there's anything wrong with the public school, but one of our goals for our kids was for them to be able to relate to people at any age, if that makes sense. We wanted them to be able to have a good conversation with an older adult. We want them to be able to converse with kids their own age, and we want them to be able to converse with littler kids or be able to care for littler kids. And that's one of the opportunities that I feel like in public school they miss out on, because they're spending all day with kids that are just their same age, and so they don't really get to the interaction with
right.
more versatile development in that way.
Yeah, and a lot of times you can see that actually in homeschool kids. They're a little more comfortable sometimes around adults. It's not always the case, and I think it's kids' personalities too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But so how do you make sure that they still get around kids their own age? Do you have to do anything?
You don't have, I don't think you have to. I think socialization begins in the home. And so when you're teaching your children to delight in each other, their siblings, to delight in being with their parents, I think those are wonderful things to do. And they certainly are learning and by, you know, helping them learn to interact with each other and with you, you're helping them weed out things like selfishness and things like that. And they take that, and then they can take that into their community and into their world. And, those things that they've learned at home, they're going to do that outside of the home. But I say but because there are plenty of great co-ops out there. So as a homeschooling mom or dad, you don't have to feel isolated. And there are plenty of opportunities in addition to if they're in sports or if they're in Boy Scouts or Trail Life or something like that. We go to a co-op every week. My girls are in a classroom setting with other kids, and these kids have been with my girls since they were 4 and 5 years old. And so for Ruthie, my 12-year-old, these are her best friends. You know, these girls.
Sure, she's grown up.
Oh, yeah. They've grown up together. You're with like-minded parents also.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always great as they are navigating through relationships, as they're, for Ruthie being 12, entering into a more hormonal phase of life, and middle school girls and how that can be. And you've got parents who are on board with you with that and struggling through it with you. So you have opportunity to help them learn and be a part of a community, you know, and not just be isolated at home. So, you know, I say it's totally fine to be at home, and they learn what they need to at home for sure. But you can be in a co-op, and that has been one of the best things for us, because it's not only helped with, there's other authority figures my girls have to answer to, and there's other relationships outside of their sibling relationship, but it's also encouragement for me as a mom, because my closest friends are there. And, you know, what do you do when your child has this issue or is not reading like you think they should be or whatever? You have that support and encouragement of, you know, finding what's right for you and helping you know you're on the right track and you're not going to totally ruin your child. And
which is something all parents need, regardless
all
of
parents. Yes.
Yeah.
Of public.
We all worry about that.
Yeah.
How your school.
Yes.
And I guess that's kind of what I'm thinking. It's not that different.
Right.
As far as maybe the goals or the purpose or things like that. It's just that
you have to be a little more intentional when you're homeschooling about getting yourself involved.
Which is maybe a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was sitting thinking about that when Maria was talking. It may be a good thing.
Yeah, because then you're intentional about what you have them involved with. And then you have a community of people who are also being intentional about what they're doing with their kids. And so it's a really good sharpening tool as a educator, as a parent, to just be able to have other people who are being intentional and who may have gone through an issue that you haven't gone through yet, and just can help you navigate those things a little bit better.
I like that you said sharpening, because I think it's encouraging, but it's also accountability to me as a mom with what I'm doing at home educationally, with how I'm training them socially. It's great accountability as we all are trying to point our kids to Christ. I mean, that is the ultimate goal for any parent, any Christian parent, I would hope, is regardless of schooling, that, you know, we just want them to know Christ.
Yeah.
You know,
well, iron sharpens iron. That's
exactly
scriptural.
Yeah. And I did just want to mention a couple of the different types of co-ops that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Maria attends a Classical Conversations co-op in Knoxville.
Yes.
And there are also some different co-ops in Sevier County, which are pretty fantastic. There's one that meets often at the library called Sevier County Homeschoolers. You can find most of these on Facebook. We have a wonderful lady, Lydia, who in our church, who runs a Wild and Free group, which is they meet every week and they go for a hike at a different place in the Smoky Mountains. And I know she was just sharing that there is an East Tennessee Wild and Free group if you're looking for a Wild and Free group to join. And we can even put some of these on our Evergreen Facebook page if people want to check those out. But various different styles of homeschooling. So that's why I was talking about being intentional, because there are a lot of people being intentional about their kids, but some of them are being intentional in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so different styles of homeschooling, including Charlotte Mason or classical or unschooling, which is there's a lot of different and everybody has their opinion. It can get a little tense with like mommy wars. Have you ever heard that term, mommy wars?
Mommy wars?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm...
It's,
you know.
it's kind of like an online.
Maybe I've been in a mommy war and didn't even know it. I don't know.
Like, should you breastfeed or bottle feed? Should you?
No, I've never been in that.
Yeah, I've never dealt with that. I didn't think so.
It's good.
But so anyway, so there are various different types of homeschooling, but you could find something to fit what you are doing with your kid.
Well, okay, so this is not a commercial for homeschooling.
Nope.
And I know you all don't intend it to be that way, but how you said you had like Tennessee requirements or whatever, but how do you? So if there's all different ways to do it, if there's all these different co-ops and there's all these different methods, or how do you get into it? How do you, like, can anybody just say I'm homeschooling my kid?
No.
Well, I mean,
No. Yeah, Tennessee does have laws about it, and there's basically three main ways that you can legally homeschool in Tennessee. And, let me just pull it out because it can
articulate
it
better
than me.
This is more just an informational thing. I'm not holding you to the legality of it necessarily.
For the most part, you have to be under some sort of protection, such as another school, which would be your umbrella school, which is what most, I think, homeschoolers in Tennessee do.
Mm-hmm.
You can also register with your local school district.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit more say that they have in how you homeschool when you do that. But typically, if you get up underneath a school, there's many, many schools in this area that will umbrella you.
Mm-hmm.
And they, especially when you get up into high school, this is important because they can help you with your transcripts, which, you know, your kids will definitely need to go to college and stuff.
Right.
And they help you get plugged in to know where to go testing for ACT, SAT, Stanford 10, that kind of thing. And give you resources. A lot of them have advisors that can say, okay, if you think your child is struggling with this learning disability, they can help you get connected on where to go get help for that, get tested for that. They can, you turn in your grades. You do have to keep up with your attendance. So that's 180 days, 4 hours a day for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And when you turn these things in, it covers you legally with the state.
Right.
So that they can't come in and claim your kid is truant or whatever.
So if you are with an umbrella school, we are with Home Life Academy. Mm-hmm. Remind me of the one that you were with.
We're with Cumberland Christian Academy.
Cumberland Christian Academy. Mm-hmm. But I know like King's Academy, Maryville Christian School, they all have these umbrella schools. So you sign up with their school. Sometimes you pay a small fee. Ours was less than $200 for all three of my kids. And then twice a year, we report their attendance and we report their grades. At the beginning of the year, I do input all of the courses and the curriculum that we are going to be using.
Mm-hmm.
And so that grade gets associated with whichever curriculum we're using.
Right.
So they get grades and they get attendance. And that's all we're required to do with Home Life Academy. Some umbrella schools do require some state testing.
Mm-hmm.
But they usually give you the information on how to get that done. So,
And then they still follow the same like grades, like 1 through 12 type thing, or
yes.
Yeah.
And the same grading scale. So, as the public school, so 92 to 100 is an A, you know, things like
sure.
that. So it's,
what happens if you don't know something? What happens if something comes along and you're like, I mean, it would never happen to you two. So other people that you know, and there something comes along like junior, senior level in high school or whatever, and you're like, gosh, I don't know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you do then?
That shouldn't happen if they get to junior and senior.
Well,
No. Like, we don't understand
that. You don't know what
to
do.
We don't know how
to do. You don't know how to teach them. I'm not saying that you might not, but like, I'm sure it has to happen.
I will say this. When your child gets to junior and senior levels, they're doing probably dual enrollment for several of their classes. So they're at Pellissippi or at Walter State, if they're in this area. They're doing some AP classes online. So those are options that are coming in. So if I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to teach calculus to my child, I don't have to worry about that because I will get a resource for them to get that credit.
Yeah. And I think that's important for someone who's
who's got a young kid
think, oh, gosh, I can't teach them.
Right. And by the time, at least when you're educating classically, whether that's Charlotte Mason or classical conversations, you're teaching them how to teach themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time they're 11th and 12th grade, they are able to learn on their own. And I would be checking answer keys and things like that.
Sure.
But they are really leading themselves, which is a really awesome thing because they're not just learning so that they can spit it back out, but they're learning how to learn new things. So,
which is one of the reasons that Ben and I decided to homeschool is because we want our kids to love to learn.
Yes.
and to know how to learn something. Which from my public school experience, I feel like I didn't learn how to love to learn.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, I went to college and I was like, I got it done. And then I was like, I don't want to learn anything for a long, long time. But being able to give the kids the opportunity to explore things that they're interested in and then learn how to learn based on those subjects,
mm-hmm,
has been a real blessing for us. The other nice thing about it, to get back to your question, is the amount of homeschool resources out there, mm-hmm, has exploded.
It's phenomenal.
The online courses that you can take, the conventions that you can go to for your own self-education, and also just to see what is available. There's the Great Homeschool Convention, Teach Them Diligently, are two that are in our area.
Mm-hmm.
I think Teach Them Diligently is in Nashville at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of resources out there. So if I don't know how to do calculus, I'm gonna go find an online course for my child, or dual, mm-hmm, enrollment is really nice, mm-hmm, because then they can get some college credits while they're also graduating.
And this is where your co-op comes in too, because we have a lot of parents at our co-op. We even have some dads who are stay-at-home dads. One of them is a herpetologist. He comes in and does a lot of our science stuff. So I don't have to be an expert in every subject. I can call in my people to say, mm-hmm, hey, sure, help us out with this. And it's a co-op, it's cooperative, and everyone's helping each other. So that's another way to get help with those things.
And another way to make learning fun.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Which is kind of what you're talking about. Talk about the kids. I know, Maria, a lot of times on Facebook you put SEisms that you, you call them.
Yes.
Tell us about your kids. Tell us about Ruthie and Essie.
As far as homeschooling or
just in general?
In general, they're awesome. I'm biased, but they're so awesome. Ruthie is 12. I'm going to be 13 this summer, and she's amazing. She's our extrovert. She's reserved, though, so people don't usually think of her as extroverted, but she's comes across as reserved and mature, but she absolutely loves to interact with people and is, you know, has so many friends, and it's beautiful to watch her interact. She's very protective and loving, especially of Essie. Which is great. It's beautiful to see that. And she's very kind. She has a servant's heart like her daddy. That's Jeremy's love language is service. And I believe it's his spiritual gift. And I think Ruthie has inherited that truly. You know,
yeah,
she's very much doing stuff for you is how she says, I love you. So it's sweet to watch her. Super smart. Doing amazing in Latin and math. Those are her two. I wouldn't say they're her favorite subjects, but I would say those are the two she excels at the most.
Yeah.
Essie is just Essie. She's
sassy.
She's sassy. Essie.
I love it.
She is, I don't even know how to put it into words, but she's 8. She is your typical second born, coming along. She does have a lot of one-liners that completely slay us, mm-hmm. and they're not always appropriate to put on Facebook. So. She is my introvert, and she is our loyal kid. She's very loyal and very family. Just loves for us to be family together. And to the point, she's like, I don't want people to come over. I just want it to be us. Like, she's just, this is her comfort. And so we actually have to work a little bit at getting her to step
push her out.
Out
of that,
yeah.
You know, she is your typical one or two friends that are great friends, and then she doesn't need anybody else, whereas Ruthie has like 12 girls coming to spend the night at her slumber party. You know, just, yeah. It's not that way with Essie. She also right now, from what I'm seeing, is excelling in math is her thing, and science. She's in a robotics class and loves that and loves art. And her love language is gift giving. So we are constantly being given little scraps of paper that she has scribbled something on, or she's very, very, very sentimental. Mm-hmm. So she and I always talk about one day we're going to have a farm and live on our little hobby farm. And so she'll always draw pictures of, you know, Mommy and Essie walking together, holding hands on a farm. You know, like we're walking through a field. And so it's neat to see that. She adores Ruthie and depends on Ruthie a lot. So one area that we're trying to get her to step out a little bit. But it's a beautiful thing to see that.
And I think what's neat about that, our boys went to a private school for a couple years. And I felt like I lost touch with who they were. And so homeschooling has been really great for us. And I think for Maria too, because we could know our kids a lot, like,
because you're
a
around
lot better.
Them more.
Yeah. And just even knowing their strengths and weaknesses academically helps in understanding how they relate to people.
Yes.
So that's been kind of neat. I'm going to tell you about my kids. Is that okay?
I'll be quiet.
I guess. No, I guess.
Okay.
I guess.
Well, we just have a really different.
And the springboard could be your two girls play violin.
Yeah.
Yes. Very they well. Play I violin. Uh-huh.
And one of your kids is a great conductor.
All of my kids are great conductors. Micah loves to stand up when the worship team is practicing and just pretend like he's conducting them. So it's pretty fantastic. We have a very different experience from Maria, because one of the reasons that we chose to homeschool is my boys are the typical wiggly, don't want to sit in a classroom all day boys. And so we just saw it as a benefit for them to be able to be outside more and to create more. They're very creative. They love Legos. We have Caleb, who's 12, and he's in sixth grade doing sixth grade work. He is a phenomenal writer. I love reading. Sometimes he will write things, and I'm just like, you're so much smarter than me. Like, he just can come up with wording that sounds like a very mature author. And so writing is definitely something he excels at, and math comes really easily to him. And he's just a sweet kid that loves to serve others. And then Josiah is 10, and he is in fourth grade. And we had a very interesting conversation that kind of, I think, sums up his homeschooling experience today, where we were working on some subtraction with borrowing, and he doesn't love it. He doesn't love it when things are challenging to him, mm-hmm. but it's been an opportunity for growth for mm-hmm. sure. And so today he said to me, Mom, I really appreciate that you're pushing me. Mm-hmm. I know I don't always show it. And I just thought that was sweet and very mature to say, because in the moments when he's really frustrated. But it's been a really good opportunity for him to be able to, you know, try. We can do hard things. That's mm-hmm. That's kind of our motto. Yeah. And then Micah, he is 6 and his birthday is in September. So we just started him in kindergarten this year because he kind of missed the cutoff. And he's just learning to read. And that's one of my favorite phases of homeschool. I know it sounds really challenging to a lot of people to teach your kid to read, but it's really not as difficult as
it's my least favorite, actually.
I love it because I love it when they just start going, oh, it makes sense.
It wasn't challenging in the sense of difficulty, but it was boring. And so sitting there listening, I was like, please hurry up and finish this. I enjoy listening to them now after the fact that they can read, you know, but that initially reading those little sentences was hard for me.
I think
you got to tell us about
Micah.
Is Caleb just Micah?
Yes, Micah is 6 and he is enjoying learning how to read. He is a little spitfire. He's extremely independent and way more mature than his age. And he just, he is my one that I will usually find making himself, you know, a grilled cheese sandwich or something, because he's just, he wants to see what adults are doing and he wants to be doing those things. And he usually does them really well. Like, he just can watch somebody do something and pick it up. And
he's so cute.
He is something else.
Be hard to get onto him. He's just so cute.
It's pretty hard to say no.
Yes, he is.
It's pretty hard to say no to him. But our school day is pretty, we do some, I wouldn't say unschooling, but our school day, like I said, it's more of a rhythm. We start out doing our morning time, which is just usually a devotion. And we do history together as a group. So my kindergartner is usually just listening to the story, starting to get those ideas about what happened in history in his head. And my 4th and 6th grader are usually doing a small writing project about whatever it is that we're learning about. And we do the same with science, and we do those on opposite days. And then each of them has a math lesson, a reading lesson, and a handwriting lesson. And then the rest of the day is really life schooling. Hey, what does it look like for us to go to the grocery store? How should we plan out what our meals are going to be, and why would that be important? How does that relate to our budget? And so just having a lot of conversations about everyday life that kind of I missed out on. You know, public school, they don't have a class necessarily about how to go grocery shopping or how to balance your checkbook. But the Boys and Girls Club, I hear, has a really good class about that. But so just teaching our kids about life is usually a lot of what our homeschooling day consists of. But our actual, like, structured, we're doing stuff is not as...
Right.
As long as you might think.
But so the takeaway. What's the takeaway? And I think several takeaways from this. So if you're listening, here.
All right. Do it.
Homeschooling is a great, I don't say option, it's just a great method. It's just a great way to educate your kids. But it's not about what you don't do, it's about what you do. Mm-hmm. So what you do. So it's not about, and I think that's what really, whether you would consider homeschooling your kid or not, it's not, I don't want to send him to public school.
Right.
It's I do
right.
want to homeschool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I've really liked about both of you. You've talked about just the positive things about what you get, what your kids are getting, but what you're getting. Yeah. And here's the big one, the big takeaway for me, what your family's getting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's such an attack on family in our culture. And anything, I think, that strengthens the family. And I think I'm not going to go into the timing of when we're doing the podcast and some of the pre-production discussions that the three of us had about current events or whatever. But there's so much negative of what's happening as kids grow up and when they grow up and with families, and so much negative with families. It's just encouraging for me to sit here and listen to you all talk about 3 wonderful boys and 2 really terrific girls, and more importantly, 4 awesome parents and 2 great moms.
Thanks,
thank you.
And just that you're building the family. You know, we don't like turning on the news and hearing about Maria and Jeremy Daly and their great kids and their experience with homeschooling or the Shingletons and how they. Had life lessons at home. We want to hear about, you know, who got killed and who's whose family's breaking up and who's shooting their kids.
Yeah.
And things like
yeah.
that.
Yes.
So thanks to you all and your families for strengthening that family. And I think that's what's, mm-hmm. that's kind of what I was hoping to get from this. Mm-hmm. It is about homeschooling. And you did, I think, if you listen, and maybe we can put some of those resources on, even if we don't put them on the Evergreen website, Googling is not that
yeah, and,
that difficult.
And anybody that, you know, knows us personally or doesn't know us personally but has a connection right. to Evergreen,
contact.
Reach out to us because yeah. we're happy to talk about
with,
it.
With information. Yeah. And but even beyond that, just families are important
mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. how you bring your kids along is so important. So thanks, Maria,
being
here
yeah.
and talking with us today. Thanks, Lacey.
Thank you.
And thanks, Muriel, for listening.
And, we love you.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you soon. God bless you.